You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatorre.
Same corner, same time, Monday morning. How was your weekend, Monday, fellas?
Man, what a weekend. What a weekend. Got to finally play golf for the first time in a few months. Shot really well. I think it's one of those things when you don't golf like every other weekend or so, you start to overthink it. So this time, went in cool, calm, relaxed. Shot a spectacular round, one for the ages, one for the ages, boys. So coming in hot on a Monday morning.
You said spectacular round, then you said one. I was like, wait, he's spectacular round. He's going to start telling us his score, and his score starts with a one. That's not great.
Yeah. I'll give you a shot by shot on every hole.
Spectacular round, 112. Okay.
Spectacular round. No, really fun round. We finally got sun all day in Tampa. It's just, I think we talked about it. It's been a weird winter, right? So. It's like raining here right now. It's cold, windy.
Same here,
but it was a beautiful day on Saturday. How was y'all's boys' weekend?
Well, so we never got an update on your golf experience.
Oh man, it went okay for considering that I'm not.
You were Tiger Woods.
I was Lion Woods. I wasn't Tiger Woods. I was like Cub Woods or some shit like that, man. But I drove the ball good.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, like how often I play, I thought I drove the ball good. Short game was trash. And I just would start, you know, faking like I was making a lot of those putts as everybody else was going to the next hole. You know, I started cheating a little bit, but I enjoy myself. I got to get out there more often.
25 foot gimme, Dan.
Yeah. Good, right?
25 feet away. Yeah, that's good, right? Yep. Good.
Yeah, good. We're good, right? All right.
Kind of hit it as everybody turning their head. You just slap it with one hand and pick it up real quick. All right, next hole, fellas. But no, I want to get out there more, man. I enjoy myself being outdoors. That's my bag. And this time of the year, I think it's better than like the summer months. That's when I kind of fall off of wanting to get out there and golf. But definitely enjoyed myself last month. That was like December, right?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Tee times in South Florida are more expensive in the winter.
Too. And then you have to play at the right courses. Some of these places are obviously trying to make all their money during the wintertime, snowbird season. So they'll stack them, you know, 6-8 minutes apart, and it can be a very hard day to get through if you're in one of the later tee times. But it was weird. There was a weird fog that was over Tampa until about 9:30, 9:45. So we had to tee off where you couldn't see anything. They had a ranger out there. He would point you to where he thought your ball went. And for the first like two holes we were playing, it was like we were playing in Jurassic Park, just low fog the whole time. But saw a couple huge alligators out there, felt one with nature back again on the golf course. So Nick, you know, do anything spectacular this weekend before we get into the show?
No. I got this hat. Shout out to Josh at Dave's Freshly Used. Ben Chase and I went downtown and had no idea what was going on. All of a sudden there was like no parking, ton of people downtown. We turn a corner and there's like a vintage market. So Ben and I walked around, got this hat. Go cop it. Check out Dave's Freshly Used.
Shout out to Dave.
Yeah, this is
Josh.
Josh. Shout out to
Dave. Josh. Not Dave, Josh. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my last weekend, my last free weekend. So I got to figure out something to do. Go do something for the Super Bowl. Who do we got in the Super Bowl?
Who do you guys got in the Super Bowl?
I've got a theory. So Hard Knocks, that mentalist guy, Oz.
Yeah. Oz.
He had Mecole Hardman, come up. Mecole was on the Jets. And he did a Super Bowl prediction. And the Super Bowl was obviously the Jets are going to be in it because he's filming it with the Jets.
Yeah. Any Jets fans in the comments, let us know how you guys are preparing for the Super Bowl.
So he asked Mecole Hardman, who do you think you're going to play in the Super Bowl? He says the 49ers. And Oz has the 49ers on his little board that he's pre-prepared. said, what's the score? 31-21. He turns it around. And it's Jets 31, Niners 21. Miko Hardman is now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm.
There might be some wagers from me placed on a 31-21 score for the Chiefs to win. Shout out to all of the Gators, so Michael P. Ryan, Trey Dean, yep. Juwan Taylor, Tommy Townsend.
Kadarius Toney?
Still hanging on.
Exactly.
Don't know why he's still sticking around, but apparently he's back at practice and everything else.
He's active again. Shout out to that.
I told my friend who's a huge Giants fan when they drafted him, I'm like, hey, man, he's really fun, but you should unfollow him on all of his social medias.
Just the like Joker, baby.
Just don't watch him. He beats to the marches to the beat of his own drum, and he did not listen. He still sends me. He's still mad as hell at Kadarius Toney and how it ended in New York, and still sends me stuff that Kadarius Toney does. And I'm like, man, I told you 4 years ago, don't follow this kid on social media. You'll be a lot happier fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my rule of thumb for a lot of play. I mean, obviously, I'm almost double some of their ages, but yeah, no, it's, you know, it's not content for me. So
yeah, I enjoy it, man.
What?
That's
I enjoy it, man. Like, you got to stay hip to what's going on, bro. You got to follow these guys to know, like, you just can't get emotionally invested in what they're doing on there and take it personal. Yeah. But I don't follow I don't follow the high school recruits or anything like that. But once the kids get on my professional team roster or my college team roster, I'm going to hit that follow button. If they're interesting, if they don't use the app, then I'm not going to follow them. But Kadarius Toney was one of those kids that used it. And it was fun watching the Joker get his shenanigans off, his raps, you know.
Still getting them off.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked him. He, like I said, marches the beat of his own drum. I met him when he was still in high school. Talked to him every once in a while. Just an interesting kid, man.
For sure. Smash that like button while you guys are here. Shout out to Fragrance Journey in the comments. We appreciate you. Smash that like button. It don't cost nothing to show love. Hit it. It's a thumbs up if you're watched and don't know what's going on in the social media world. So
hit the subscribe button too. Silk, let's get a prediction out of you. Who do you guys have in the Super Bowl?
I'm going 49ers, man. Before I was a Jag fan, before the Jag as a franchise guy started, I was a 49er fan. So I like low key cheer for them whenever my team's doing terribly. So I'm gonna go with the 49ers, and I'm just tired of Taylor Swift is just too much at this point, man. So I don't want to see her happy Sunday.
Bro, that's wild. The Swifties are going to come for the podcast. Yeah, are you out of your mind?
Might be the most show of
all time. Swifties, if you found this clip, I disassociate with everything that Silk, Uncle Corey over there
the violence, has about you. I'm choosing violence, man.
We got a new album coming.
Happy Monday morning to the four-time Album of the Year Grammy winner, Taylor Swift and her fans. Dropping a new album after winning Song of the Year. Harrison
Sanchez. Album of the Year as well.
Say what?
Album of the Year as well.
Harrison Sanchez, a noted Taylor Swift hater in the comments.
That's wild. They're going to come for you up in the mountains, Harrison. Dude, it's not her fault. It's not her fault. The NFL is using her. She's out there just supporting her boyfriend, who will probably have an entire album created about him in a year or two. And the NFL is like, hey, we can reach an entire new market. Put her on TV as much as possible. She's not asking to be on TV.
I mean, let's be clear here.
We will see more Taylor Swift than the players at this point.
Well, I think she was on for 44 seconds last game, right? So, I mean,
it is what it is.
But so she'll be there. I think she's going to be in Tokyo.
You got money, that's crazy. She flies private. She's got a tour date to start her international tour in Tokyo on February 11th. Mm-hmm. And they're 17 hours ahead in Japan.
Yeah, so I think she said that they can make it back for a few hours before the game. If anything, we know that Taylor Swift will be the carbon footprint champion of the
Super Bowl. Well, she's got four dates in Japan, so she's flying from like Tokyo to Vegas after the game, like back to Tokyo for three more shows.
Yeah,
man. That's crazy money. That'd be wild. Like, hey, what's your itinerary for the next couple of days? Oh, Tokyo, Vegas, Tokyo.
Yeah, it's nuts. There is a rumor Drake and J. Cole were in town here in Tampa this past weekend on Friday and Sunday performing. Word on the street is they rented out the entire Edition Hotel, which goes for about $600 or $700 a night for the most basic room, all the way up to $25,000 per night for the corner suite down there. So
why would you need a whole hotel?
I mean, you got big entourage, big group of people.
Man, you
want because you can, man. Right?
Yeah. Why not?
Give me the top three floors in the service elevator. It seems pretty private.
I need.
Can't turn up properly, man. I need every floor.
I can't turn up properly with three penthouses.
No.
I also need the custodial closet in room 111.
Yeah, so Taylor Swift, when she was here last year, stayed at that hotel. They didn't rent out the whole thing, but they did rent out like the corner suite in that floor. Most of the floor that she was on, they have security that will stand in front of everybody's doors as they shuttle somebody in, because there's a service freight elevator area next to the restaurant. They'll shuttle you in through the restaurant up the elevator, but they'll make sure that like nobody's on the floor when they're in and out. So just completely wild. Completely wild. I need somebody to hop in the podcast DMs. So if you've ever been in planning a tour, these concert venues, everything else, we're trying to figure out how much money the artist makes based on everything compared to like the arena, to the promoters, to everybody in between. Right. So
usually I think the artist sets their deal up, you know, most of the time, like somebody would like host these tours. Right. And they would get paid. The contract should exclude costs, right? They're just in taking on the profits, or I'll do certain amount of city tour for a said number, and that's it. They're not worried about the cost. If Rock Nation or Live Nation, whoever may be putting this the concert on, they absorb all those costs and deal with profits and loss with ticket sales and whatnot. From my understanding, it depends. If you're independent, probably works a little differently. But I heard Mahomes' dad called a DUI just to avoid being in the same booth as the Swifties. That's what the streets are saying. Don't drink and drive, man. Most importantly, enjoy your Super Bowl responsibly. Do not drink and drive. Get you an Uber, catch a ride, but do not get behind the wheel and drive. It's just not worth it.
No.
See Jackson's TikTok about that.
Public service announcement. I had a really good friend of mine die from a drunk driver hitting him. Please do not drink and drive. Uber, Lyft, even the old taxi cabs have apps these days. Absolutely. Certainly if you have that kind of money, you need to stay off the road if you've been drinking or impaired. So guys, let's get into the show a little bit. Let's do a quick shout out to our friends over at Lucy. Go visit lucy.co/stadium. to up your nicotine pouch game. Right now they are pushing, there it is. Right now they're pushing the breakers. They have a little flavor breaker ball that's in the middle there. You break it with your tooth. You are with your teeth. You have, I don't know, probably, you know, double the amount of flavor expectancy. I will say if you've used other products, this product is very flavor forward. Come in 4 milligrams or 8 milligrams. If you're looking for the just traditional pouches, they come in anywhere from 2 all the way up to 12 milligrams of 100% pure tobacco, apple ice, espresso, mint, mango, all different flavors that you can get with Lucy. So again, go to lucy.co/stadium. You'll get 20% off of your first order and you will always get free shipping. Here is the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every age is age verified. Every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, gentlemen.
Hey, shout out to Dan in the comments. A quick internet search. T-Swift makes 13.6 mil per concert.
That's bonkers.
You got to think they have, for someone like her, she's probably getting a cut of sales, cut of the door.
Yeah.
And then whatever
merch.
She's selling is 100% her.
Yeah.
Sessions. Hey, we're getting the
piece product sponsors. Like, yeah. It goes crazy.
She's doing fine.
Yeah. No, we were trying to do some quick math at the bar on Saturday. You know, two nights at Amalie Arena, probably 20,000 people each, 40,000. We said, ticket price probably 200. So we were starting, you know, $200 each. So then we were starting to go in and all the amount of money, how much money does the arena take, anything else? So if anybody ever has worked in that industry, it'd be fascinating to know of all those ticket sales and everything else, how much like a J. Cole and a Drake might make. But downtown Tampa was popping this weekend because of it looked like a incredible show. So
all shout out to Taylor Swift, really putting Travis Kelce on the map.
Yeah, Travis, Kelce, shout out to him. Like, bro, know your worth, King.
Yeah.
Facts. I was listening to their, I was listening to their podcast, and Travis was kind of talking like, don't know how many more years I'm going to play. I'm like, yeah, you signed up to the best 401k ever. You don't need to get your head smashed in anymore.
What do you do with these cute little checks? Is what she probably tells him. What do you do with these? Do you cash these?
What are these?
Honey, I've got the Chipotle today. You know,
Travis, what's this loose change you have hanging around the house?
Gosh. I think Travis Kelce signed, a $30 million deal? No, maybe more than that. Let's see. Travis Kelce.
A few concerts, man.
Yeah. That's wild. How many Taylor Swift contracts? Five-year, $46 million contract was his last one. That's so, quick math is, three concerts for old T-Swift?
Yes.
Four. That's, so
she literally has four concerts in Tokyo around the Super Bowl.
That's nuts.
She's making the entirety of his contract that he's currently playing on over the next week.
Yeah.
What's super about this bow? This is your check. What's super about this bow?
he got 70,000. I think they get like $70,000 for making the Super Bowl. Like, that's gonna fuel her jet to get to the Super Bowl and back.
Yeah.
B-Max says, hey, we talking about the Gators today? Yeah. We sure are. We are in the
yeah.
What's going on right now. So quick shout out
Gators. Sure, why not?
Overtime win against Kentucky. Come back, play Texas A&M on Saturday, blow a 12-point lead, lose by one. Some very wonky refereeing there in the second half. I think it was 20-2 at one point for free throws in the second half. Some weird home cooking calls, but the Gators do lose to Buzz Williams and Texas A&M. Can't seem to get the monkey off their bat of rattling off victories when they need. Still 1-7 in quad one wins. Still very much a bubble team, probably right outside the bubble right now. Did you guys get to watch that game at all?
No. I didn't get a chance to watch
it. Totally fine. So
casually watched it. I thought, okay, so the first story was, I'm blanking on the kid's name now. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, man, why is this kid
the day before?
Why is this kid playing the day after he gets arrested? And then I look into it. I don't know that if you're driving a car, you should be charged for evading police when those police are on bikes. Like, hey, man, I wasn't evading. I was doing 20 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, they were gone.
I think it's one of those things that if the police are coming after you, then
get your biking game up. You Lance Armstrong on the bikes in College Station. Don't know what he was getting pulled over for or anything like that. But, I wasn't virtue signaling, hey, this is egregious. Like, he got arrested. He paid bail. I don't know what the details are. Maybe the details
are bad. We got some details here. So, fled two officers from a lawful arrest or to detain the defendant on December the 3rd around 2:47, sped past two officers on bicycles in the Northgate Bar District in his Dodge Durango. Radford smelled marijuana coming from the car. Around 45 minutes later, the Durango was pulled over. Radford told law enforcement that he had not been driving when the car was originally considered for evading. After further evaluation, surveillance cameras, they determined that he lied about being the driver who fled the scene. Warrant was issued. Radford was arrested Friday morning. On Saturday, he was playing in the game. Buzz Williams, the head coach, said, I'm not supposed to talk about anything legal, but I'm completely aware of everything that's going on and have been. I love Boots, I guess is his nickname. And I love his parents. He also is coincidentally one of Texas A&M's top scorers.
Yes.
And he went off on Saturday. Texas A&M, as you will know, is also a bubble team. So
Score faster than he drives.
scored faster than he drives. Not a great free throw shooter, but other than that, he went off. Gators do lose. They will be back against Auburn.
They have their midweek bye this week. Yeah,
so they play number 16 Auburn in Gainesville at 3:30 p.m. So you can watch the Gators as they try to right their loss off from the other day.
They've got to learn how to play with a lead better. A lot of these games look like Mike White, where like you get a lead and then there's a 6-minute scoring drought, and all of a sudden an 18-point lead is now a tied game. So you got to learn how to be a front runner at some point. Yep. And how to stay hot and end games when you've got double-digit leads in the second half.
Yeah, and the Mike White, when he played Mike White, it was like a battle of who's going to Mike White the most. Yeah, like –
Mike, nobody out Mike White.
Shout out to Mike White for Mike Whiting that that loss for Georgia. Not my problem.
Mike probably looked down the gym and was like, "Hey man, I'm trying.
Trying to lose this, man. Like, come on, work with me.
I feel right at home back in the O-Dome. trying to put on a nice homecoming. What are you doing over there, Todd? Chill out.
We gotta get Eric Fawcett or one of them guys to come on and kick it with us and talk some basketball.
Shout out to Eric. He was in Spain. I was gonna have him on the last 2 weeks. He and his wife are out in Spain living it up.
Nice. What do you think if we don't make the tournament this year? I know we're like a bubble team right now. If we don't make the tournament, what's your feel on Todd Golden?
Yeah, I mean, I had one big booster tell me that Todd was not brought here. Todd was brought here to elevate the program, and that Mike White never missed the tournament twice. So, and listen, I don't know that boosters aren't making those decisions. That would be the AD, that would be the president. I don't know that Scott Strickland, I've said this about football, Scott Strickland won't hire the next football coach, in my opinion. I don't know that he'll hire the next basketball coach. I don't know if they'll fire Mike. I think 2 years to fire a coach or Mike, Todd. I don't know if 2 years is enough to figure it out, but like
basketball,
Isn't like a long rebuild. Like, these are all your dudes from the transfer portal.
Basketball, the
last 2 years, yeah.
You can flip a roster fast in basketball, and he has. So, like, the excuses and the leash, in my opinion, in the basketball world is shorter than football, just because you can flip rosters quicker.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, I would imagine that he'd probably get a third year. You know, they have some talented players on the team, and, you know, you pull off a win, your first road win against a top 10 team since 2003, and then you follow it up with, you know, a 13-point lead or 12-point lead and ultimately lose that game. And I know losses are going to happen, but, you know, right now Florida's record is inflated by beating the teams they're supposed to be beating and then losing to the teams that that they should be grabbing a couple more wins against. So you have Auburn this weekend. Gators need to get it back and figured out. But right now, both the state of basketball and football both look more bleak than they have in quite some time. All right, let's see. Do want to give a shout out. Nathaniel Rogers mentioned it here. The Gators did two announcements here to make. One is the passing of Alonzo Johnson. He was one of the best linebackers in Florida Gator history, two-time All-American in the 80s, 1984, 1985. Member of the second team, Florida Gators All-Century team, member of the Florida All-Time team, member of the UF Athletic Hall of Fame, was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles in the second round of the draft there. So played under the Charlie Pell and Galen Hall years, but very, you know, saddened to hear of his loss, the loss of Alonzo Johnson on February 1st. So he was 60 years old. Also, the announcement of Bill Carr, who was a former center for Steve Spurrier. When Steve Spurrier was a player, Bill Carr was an All-American and was also the athletic director at the University of Florida in the 80s. He helped build the O-Dome and he helped expand the Swamp during his tenure at the University of Florida. So certainly best wishes to the family of both Alonzo Johnson and Bill Carr. Nick, I know that you had some baseball stuff. Baseball starts what next week, right? So
February 16th, 11 days.
Okay. So give us what's going on in the world of baseball that we can chat about.
We're kind of just chugging along. They scrimmage four or five times a week, just inter squads. Yeah, I think Florida's going to be really good. They're ranked anywhere. I mean, there's like nine different baseball polls, anywhere from like two to six, but it's pretty consensus top 10 team. Yeah, I think there's nothing new to report from baseball, but it should be a good team. They're young. Oh my God, I'm dying. They're young. They're young on the mound. I think the Saturday guy is someone that fans won't know right now, but they'll come to like Liam Peterson. Baseball recruiting is different. Like, these kids commit when they're 12 years old, or not 12, 14 years old, freshman in high school. Peterson was committed to Florida for a couple years, and I didn't think he was going to get to campus. Kind of like one of those arms that you just expect to get drafted and not show up, take the money. That was my thought. He gets to campus. I see him pitch, and I'm like, still don't know why this kid's here. This kid should be getting ready for spring training somewhere this year. Sully's not afraid to start freshmen. Logan Shore started pitching on Fridays as a freshman, and I expect Liam Peterson to start on Saturday with Cade Fisher on Friday, Liam Peterson Saturday, and Jack Caglione on Sundays. And I think the reason why a lot of people probably just expected Jack to pitch Friday, starting a baseball game is tough on your body, and you still need Jack to hit between two to five in your lineup, two to four in your lineup, and play first base twice. So leaving him on Sunday gives him a rest. You can DH him on a Tuesday midweek game or a Wednesday midweek game to get him off his feet a little bit. And I think that's why you leave him on Sunday. So it's a strong rotation. I think Jack's pitched a lot better, more consistently in the strike zone than he has been. I guess the one thing that watching the team right now that concerns me is defense. I think Luke Heyman's gotten better behind the plate, but he's not as good defensively as BT Raiopel. The best defensive catcher is Tanner Garrison. He's a transfer from Coastal Carolina, just like BT was, and Dale Thomas. He's really good defensively. I don't know how much he'll hit, and if you don't hit, you're not going to be in the lineup. And then Brody Dinay, who might have more power, raw power, than Jack Caglione, is the third catcher. Very raw behind the plate. But his bat will keep him in the lineup. So DH, first base, something like that. Colby Shelton, this is a transfer from Alabama, freshman All-American, hit 24 homers last year, 25, something like that. He's not Josh Rivera defensively. He's just not.
Yeah.
So right up the middle, I think – yeah, there's Sean. Right up the middle, I think that you always want to be strong defensively up the middle. Cade Curlin's good at second base. He's back for his sophomore year. I just don't know that this will be one of Sully's better defensive teams. And I say that knowing that they're always top 25 defense. But I don't know that I'm going to be accustomed to the kind of defense we see. And you've got a couple guys in the outfield who just aren't good defensively but hit. So this team's going to hit. They might have to, because they might have more errors than we're used to watching.
So it looks like a Big 12 football team, all offense, no defense.
Yes.
Nice.
I like offense in baseball, though, man. You know, I'm a Buns, Mark McGuire era kid, so I'm used to the offense. How do we face, how do we match up versus Miami March 1st? I know we're going down there to that game to check that out.
Yeah, I don't think Miami's supposed to be very good this year. Nice. If they're ranked, they're ranked in the bottom 20s. New coach, Gino, he's been there. Man, Gino played there. He's been there 20 plus years. That's a great trip just to make it. If you're that stadium, I was telling somebody, because it's kind of a dump now, but that stadium, right, when it was first built, was like one of the jewels of college baseball and was like state of the art, one of the best places to go watch college baseball. Alex Rodriguez gave him a bunch of money, and I think all they did was build like some suites on either side of the press box.
University of Miami Athletics, you know, football and baseball stuck in 2001, you know?
This one's stuck in 1980. Their stadium is stuck in the 80s. It was really, really nice. But now it is what it is. But they're a smart baseball crowd. Probably because all my Cubans are down there, down in Coral Gables. Smart baseball crowd. It's a fun series to go to. It gets heated, though. It gets heated. Those Miami fans.
Wait till they meet Dan.
Do not like Florida fans. I need Dan with a megaphone.
Oh, Dan's. I'm here. Is that one outfielder still there, or did they?
No. I can't even remember. You were just calling his number.
He was heckling him like at elite levels. The kid kept looking back and like acknowledging
Dan had a rough
every
day.
Error. He had a yeah. rough day.
Yeah, he had a rough day out there on the
throwing error and a fielding error.
Yeah, and he also had like four plays go his way in a row, and I think that there was multiple mistakes. He was rattled. We had the whole what was that right field, heckling him. Yeah, so
the berm,
right at the berm. So
my son still talks about that, man.
Shout out to Vari. Vari was out there heckling with you.
Vari was out there. Yeah, shout out to Lion. He was out there. Silk's kids were out there. I don't think
that was Vari. That was
no.
So Vari showed up.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't. It was Valen.
Valen showed up. It was Valen.
Yeah, Vari was not there. No, they're two different people.
You're getting your mixed people mixed up.
They are not the same people, Nick.
I can see the mix up. This is
embarrassing, right? On the Twitter timeline, right?
I can see the mix up.
Valen is not Vari.
All right. Vari lies about Jacksonville.
Vari's
no, it wasn't. Oh, no.
Yes.
That's not who I ran into.
Yes, you did. Yeah, Valen was.
I ran into Valen.
He was with a member of the opposite sex. I don't think that they're dating anymore, so we're not going to blow his spot up. But yeah, so no, great time. Let's see, Smokey Gator, who's very, very excited that we were talking baseball, said Liam Peterson has the stuff you can rely on as a freshman. Like Nick said, he should be a low class A professional this year.
One and done.
And then he also says he was.
No, he can't be one and done.
As a DH emergency catcher.
Yeah. Shout out to Brody because he wants to catch. He wants to put in the work. Mm-hmm. He can hit the ball.
Catching is the Dickens.
He can hit a ball 500 feet. He's 6'5", and he has on baseball they do an 80 grade scale. 80 is like Hall of Fame elite, best of the best. He has a legitimate 80 grade arm. I've seen him throw the ball from in a scrimmage from catcher trying to throw a runner out 95 miles an hour from home to second. Like he has an elite arm.
Pause.
Major league teams are going to look at him with the power that he hits and his arm and say, then watch him catch and go, hey man, you're an outfielder. You're going to play in right field. Putting him at first base is a waste of his arm. You just got to teach him to play right field. Unfortunately, I think he didn't get the opportunity to practice there in the fall because he was hurt. Smokey, pop time's not good because he doesn't have good. It's all arm. He doesn't have good fundamentals. He doesn't have good footwork. He doesn't really receive the ball very well. If he wants to stay at catcher, he has a lot of work to do. But I don't see a major league team like Bryce Harper was a catcher in high school, and major league teams were like, "Hey, that's cool. We'll let you do that for a little bit, but you're way too valuable,
right?
Offensively to have you catch."
Yeah, and when those paychecks start coming, you got to do what they say. Right now, you can have a little.
I think a big reason why he came to Florida was like when he came on his visit, he was talking to Mike Rivera, and I think Mike Rivera being on the staff was a huge reason why he wanted to come. Hey, I can come work with this guy. Mike was about to get called up to the majors. Just he told me his body was just like not there anymore. He's like, I could maybe go up for a year. But like my body's just giving up on me. Knees, back, hips.
Drop it down like Meg. Drop it down like Meg Stallion for like years and upon years. Wear and tear on the knees, man.
Yeah, and they don't do those knee savers or anything else anymore. So
you can't. You can't wear the knee savers.
What I'm getting at, though.
Bad look.
Yeah, it is.
My knees still creak. My knees still creak from catching. When I squat down, my knees pop still. Used to, catching's tough. I mean, at 18 years old, I'm still good. Like you're still young. You think you're fine. It was ice on both knees on the way home. Sit down in the shower to have hot water hit on the knees, then get out of the shower and like ice back on the knees. And that was a daily routine. And my knees still click clack when I squat up and down.
My brother was a catcher for a long time. I know he still deals with the same stuff. So
my brother too. My brother too.
Yeah. So we've got, you said 11 days, right, Nick, before?
Sorry, 11 days. I think single ticket sales are available now. Yeah, just getting ready for a long season. I think people keep asking me, I think Florida's I don't know that there'll be a top eight seed, a national seed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of projecting that, you need to get, you don't need the freshmen to be spectacular. You just need them to pitch to what you think they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Philpott, McNeely, and then your sophomores, you need them to take a jump as well. Specifically Cade Fisher, who only made two starts last year, is going to start opening night, probably Friday. So there's a lot of projecting going on. It's a young team. They are a little bit older in spots. I think they'll hit a lot. But I think it should be a regional host. I just don't know if they'll be a top eight team. You got to stay healthy as well. There's definitely some luck involved in who makes it to Omaha and who eventually wins in Omaha by staying healthy.
All right. Well, let's get into football. Before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit Home Field Apparel. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. You'll get 15% off of your order. About 20 different shirts for the University of Florida, about 100 different schools overall. So any friend, colleague, relative, whatever it might be that might have gone to maybe a Marquette or a Wake Forest, you know, maybe Georgia Tech, whomever it might be, go check out Home Field Apparel. Promo code works across the entire website. And if you are Harrison Tenzer and you are an Indianapolis Colts fan, you too can find some retro Indianapolis Colts gear on there as well. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout will get you 15% off of your order. All right, gentlemen, there was the Senior Bowl this past week, and like most bowl games, we saw a lot of opting out of the game, including from Florida Gators top wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. But before he did that, he checked in at 6 foot, just a hair under 6'193" with a 30 3/4 inch arm length, but really did a spectacular job at the Senior Bowl tryouts or practices and everything else. I know that he was one of the guys that was praised for the entire week. Daniel Jeremiah, who's on the NFL Network, said he's quick and fast, been impressive as a route runner. He's been able to separate. You see it with double moves when you watch his tape at Florida. Quarterbacks can go or can also just get the ball in his hands and let him run after the catch. So right now, the NFL mock draft database has him ranked as a consensus early third round draft pick with the number 73 overall ranking. What'd you guys think of Ricky Pearsall? Highlights were all over the timeline on Thursday.
Yeah, I texted a scout asking about him before the game. I was like, hey, I haven't seen anything about Ricky. He's like, oh, he left after 2 days. Get out of here, baby. He said he left after 2 days. I'm like, why? He goes, he came, he saw, he conquered. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I saw some there was a woman journalist who put out a list of players who had opted out of the game, and people were like mad about it. And like, the game is the least important thing for the guys there. Mm-hmm. Some guys don't need to even practice. Like, they're just there to do interviews. All 32 teams are there, scout, general manager, head coach, somebody's there, and they do interviews throughout the night, and mornings, before practice, after practice. That's for most guys, that's what they need to do. You've got 4 years of tape. They know what kind of player you are. They don't need to see you practice. They need to talk to you before they start investing money in a draft pick into you. The game is just an opportunity to tear your ACL 3 months before the draft. So I think it's a smart move by Ricky to go in, torch some DBs, and get out while the game is good. Do your interviews and get out. Pro Football Focus just released a mock draft that has him going 33rd, first pick in the second round.
Whoa.
That's friendly. I think he's
I think he's a great day two pick, second, third round.
Yeah, third round is where I got it. It depends on what his 40 is. I want to see, you know, how he competes and you know, what's his numbers at the combine. But he did what he needed to do, separate in practice reps versus, you know, other NFL guys. But he definitely made some money. And the Senior Bowl is just an opportunity for a lot of those guys to make some money. And then sometimes you see, I know Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville, he was eating this year. And we've seen some former Gators that ate at Senior Bowl. But you start seeing some of these guys' development start clicking right before they go to the NFL.
Right.
And it's like depressing sometimes. Like, man, he didn't do that none of the time he was at our school. Now he's starting to look good, but Ricky definitely made himself a lot of money.
I think he's like a 4.44 guy. He's like, he's a mid 4.4 guy.
If he hit 4.4 or 4.4, I got him in the second round.
I mean, he moves. He can run.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he can run.
And he's now going to spend the next. He's already spent a month. The next 2 months before the combine, or next additional month, just focus solely on form and getting that 40 down.
Oh, right? Combine's end of the month.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So 2 full months where almost every day he's working on form, working on that speed, working on running that race. And I think that Ricky gets in the 4.4s there.
Yeah, Van Jefferson was another Gator that made. I know he did well at Florida, just like Ricky Pearsall did. But when he got to the Senior Bowl, he was barbecuing guys, and
yeah,
he extended the draft board at the same weekend. So shout out to Ricky for making his money and saying, "All right, I'm out, man."
Yeah, it's not much he can do at that game to improve his draft stock anymore. Kingsley Aguakin was also there. He did play in the game. Checked in at 6'3", 1 1/4 inch, 300 pounds, 32 3/4 inch armed. Did okay. You know, in the game, in practices, you know, seemed to be impressive. Did play in the game, did not allow a pressure or a sack in the game. A couple of noted plays. He had a sliding zone block on a 2nd and 10 run pass option that allowed Sam Hartman to hit Luke McCaffrey on a slant route for a first down. So according to the NFL mock draft database, his ranking jumped from the 586th player to number 237, which would make him a 7th round projection as well. So probably the only two players that will get drafted in this draft class from the University of Florida. And like Nick said, the NFL Combine does start on February 29th in Indianapolis. Yeah, I didn't,
that same scout I talked to, both of us had the same opinion. I don't know why Kingsley declared for the draft. I didn't think he needed to come back to Florida, but I think he needed to come back to college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever college. But
yeah, he missed, you know, obviously numerous games, you know, this season, and he was limited in 4 in 2023 as well. So definitely some injury concerns this year. Hopefully he gets the opportunity to get drafted, or at least not get, if he doesn't get drafted, get an opportunity where he might be able to get an opportunity to make a staff. So, or make a team, pardon me. So again, those are the two names to watch, and Ricky Pearsall went and did his thing in Mobile, Alabama. All right, let's see. What else do we have? Josh Pate, everybody's favorite college football opiner, yesterday, I believe, put out a ranking of current SEC program power rankings. This is a 3-year snapshot of on-field performance, talent acquisition, stability, and resource pool. He ranks the University of Florida 13th out of 16. That order is Georgia, Alabama, Texas, LSU, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn, Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and then Vanderbilt. What do you all think about being ranked 13 of 16 over the last 3 years?
Last 3 years are bad.
Yeah.
need like to do last 5 years, get you some New Year's Six Bowls in that. It's just wild to me to look at anyone's SEC power rankings, even like living through the last 3 years and seeing Florida behind Kentucky, Missouri, in South Carolina. It is cool to see Texas and Oklahoma in there too, though. But yeah, wild to me.
Yeah. So on-field performance, talent acquisition, stability, and resource pool. Yeah, I mean, the last 3 years, obviously, as a Florida Gators football fan, has been tough. Obviously, talent acquisition business is going pretty well for Florida, not as good as they want, obviously. And then, you know, the thing is if you finish, I think Florida's 10th right now in the recruiting rankings, you have 6-7 SEC teams ahead. So even if you're doing better compared to everybody else, you're still kind of in the middle there. So obviously, Florida is not a bastion of stability right now. Obviously, there's a lot of fans that want to change at the head coaching position at the University of Florida. Resource pool, I don't know how you judge that. I think Florida's resource pool is obviously quite high. But on-field performance, three six-win seasons in a row puts Florida right there. Is that where you guys would rank Florida over the last 3 years?
I mean, it seems a little accurate, to be honest with you. It pretty much boils down to just winning games, and we haven't won games. Even if you go like the last overall, all those different things that you put in, if you go more years, even to the New Year's Six games, if you're talking about player acquisition, stability, you know, all of that stuff, I don't know if we that much higher if you include the New Year's Six bowls and stuff because of everything that they're considering. But I mean, the overall, you just got to win football games, and we're not winning football games, you know, and we definitely haven't been stable in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, but like Dan Mullen won as many games in a single season as Billy has won in two.
Mm-hmm.
What season was that?
Didn't they get 11 with the bowl game? The Cotton Bowl year? No? Oh, Cotton Bowl was 2020. It was only, maybe not.
Yeah,
that was factual error.
What else is new? Yeah, no, it's just
fact checking wrong.
Yeah. No, I think Florida went 8-4 that year. I mean, some great games. Beat the tail off of Georgia. Kyle Pitts, Kyle Trask, the rest of the team was looking good. Nick, if I don't know if you remember correctly, Florida threw a shoe that season.
I don't recall.
Yeah,
hey, if that season,
2019.
Yeah, we went out to Atlanta and everything.
I was right. 2019. Florida went 11-2.
No, you're
2019.
Wrong,
Dan Mullen was the coach, and the Florida went 11-2. That's as many games in 1 year.
Yeah, your factual error was that you said 2020 and 2019. You just got a little too.
I first said, and then when I was given perplexed looks, I tried to throw a year out there. 2019, it was the Orange Bowl year. They went 11-2. That's one year.
That's where I was confused. You know, threw out all wrong year.
To be fair with Dan, like if it wasn't a COVID year that next year and we play our regular schedule, like who knows what happens with Kyle Trask going crazy and, you know, Kyle Pitts that season, Kadarius.
They wouldn't back Kyle Pitts out against LSU, you know?
I don't want to talk about it, man. What we got?
2019 seems like 20 years ago.
It does.
Ain't that the truth? Harrison said, come on, guys. My therapist said, you aren't supposed to talk about the shoe. The shoe's part
of
our
let that shoe go. No, we gotta let that shoe go.
Please.
Everybody needs to let the shoe go.
Like Marco did, let the shoe go.
No, he needs to let it go as well because he takes his shot like with that shoe thing. He's been on content, bringing it up. Let the shoe go. It's time to move on, man. Like people that still troll and mad about a shoe is just, all right, do your thing. I don't care. Whatever. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Nick, this just hit the timeline. Final SEC stat leaderboard for yards per punt. Your Jeremy Crawshaw leads by 1.3 yards, 48.9. So shout out to him. He edges out Matt Hayball, the punter for Vanderbilt, where if I was a punter, that's the kind of school I would go to. Graham Mertz leads the SEC in completion rating. So a couple of fun little stats for you guys to end the year.
Jeremy Crawshaw, I am a voter for the most prestigious award, certainly college football, maybe in all of sport, the Ray Guy Award. Despite Jeremy being one of the best punters in the country in terms of net yards, net average, hasn't punted enough to be considered for the award in each of the last two seasons.
Yeah.
So
lots of fourth downs. Lots of stalls at the 4-yard line. Yeah, you know,
a lot of those. So,
here's to hoping that next season it doesn't qualify him either.
It wouldn't interesting.
A lot of touchdowns, you know.
I said that to him. What an interesting life. Nobody other than your close fans and close family fans are happy whenever you're playing football.
He's just got, I'm telling you,
the second you get into the game, everyone's angry, not at you, but everyone's angry. Sometimes you're going onto the field and they're booing at the situation, the play calling, something has happened. Nobody's happy when you're playing football.
I'm locked in because I need him to pin them deep. So I am like, man, that series was terrible. You know, why we try to triple reverse there. But I'm also like, all right, we need to pin these guys deep and get the ball back. So I need Kershaw not to put this in the end zone.
Bro, what is CJ? CJ has like
CJ Dorsey.
Bro, that's like he went to the mall.
Numbers.
His mom took him to the mall and he got one of those professional photos taken.
Personality pictures.
Damn, Nate, throwing personal shade on the booming onion, you know?
It's a joke.
All right, let's see. And what other news do we have here? Got to pull this up from Nick. Missouri received a $62 million donation from an anonymous supporter. $50 million will go to Memorial Stadium renovations. That would cover 1/8 of Ben Hill Griffin's renovation cost right now. The rest is going to go to the Tiger Fund program.
Scott said $400 million is a starting point. So not 1/8. It would start the jumping off point.
The jumping off point is 1/8. So the rest of that money will go to the Tiger Fund. So $50 million to the Memorial Stadium, $12 million to the Tiger Fund program.
What's the Tiger Fund?
But $62 million anonymously is, you know, those are big boss moves right there.
I mean, listen, if I'm donating 62,000, my name's being attached to that. Yeah, you're mine.
If donating $62, name's getting attached, you know?
Yeah. I bought a new chin strap. You put my name on that player's chin strap so I can see it on Saturdays.
Why didn't we get that 5-star? I donated $62 to the collective. that's my
that's
level.
That's wild. And that's crazy. So you get, I don't know what renovations they're doing. I think they're doing at Missouri. We were last there. They were talking about where they have like the Rock M. They were going to be doing, I think, like closing that side of the stadium. But yeah, they're not going to get rid of the Rocks. So it was senior day for them. The seniors on Missouri's football team get to take home a rock from them as part of their senior day tradition. Wow. Get a rock.
There's one thing that I know that I would not want. Shout out to
Tyrone Hopper. Got a rock from Missouri.
Your shout out to Tyrone Hopper. Probably the only memory that he would want from Columbia, Missouri. Maybe they'll raise the stadium from being underground, you know?
Columbia, Missouri stinks.
Sure does. Sure does. Let's see. There's a question in the group chat here. We are still very much getting into what's going to happen in the 2025 recruiting class. But Jeremy Morris said, who's QB1, Hill or Montgomery? So that's 4-star can't quarterback from Warner Robins. Antoine Hill, he's the number 7 quarterback in the country, number 76 overall prospect. And then Ryan Montgomery from Findlay High School in Ohio, he's the number 19 quarterback. Antoine Hill was on campus on January the 13th, and Ryan Montgomery just wrapped up his visit yesterday. I know Ryan Montgomery's being looked at by Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. But right now it looks like it could be a Florida, South Carolina battle. And it does look like he said that he might be close to making that decision here pretty quickly. But if you also look at On3 from Chad Simmons, he wrote that the Gators were trending for Antoine Hill as well. So, gentlemen, not sure if you've done a ton of research. Antoine Hill versus Ryan Montgomery, who do you think is your personal QB1?
I like Antoine Hill. Can't go wrong with either one of those guys. I think both of those guys are really good. But if I had to look at either, you know, of the huddle links, you know, in the film, I like Antoine Hill and what he brings to the table more. he fits what we have on campus as well. Very similar, not as talented in my opinion as Lagway, but similar skill sets.
Yeah, previously committed to Colorado, offers from North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, all of the schools that you could want and hope for. The RPM, the recruiting prediction machine on On3, has him going to North Carolina. Pardon me. Don't think that that's going to probably end up happening. But right now, Florida is potentially trending for Antoine Hill. I like him a little bit more. I do think Ryan Montgomery is good. Obviously, trying to get a quarterback to follow DJ Lagway, can be more of a challenge than if he was not committed to the program. But Billy's been able to bring in some good quarterbacks, been able to recruit really well at the quarterback position, and obviously develop those players as well. Saw with Graham Mertz, obviously bring in DJ Lagway. Obviously, you had the issue with Jaden Rashada. Throw that whole thing in. He's obviously recruited quite well at the position. So hopefully Florida, you like to get your quarterbacks committed early. Hopefully Florida is able to grab one of the two here shortly. Florida is also looking at Keelon Russell out of Duncanville High School in Texas, Matt Zollers out of Royals Field, Pennsylvania as well. So likely one of those names. But again, we are still on the beginning part of 2025 recruiting. Looks like in the group chat, there's a lot of folks that say Antoine Hill. So we will see. In other news in the recruiting world, the Gators did, land an RPM pick for a four-star offensive lineman, Peyton Joseph. Keith Niebuhr put in a prediction for him. He is interior offensive lineman from Houston County in Fort Valley, Georgia, the number 123 overall player on the On3 industry ranking average, 6'3", 280 pounds. His offers from Florida, Georgia, Florida State, Alabama, a number of other schools in there as well. So just getting started on 2025 recruiting, but Nick, there has been a couple of questions. Will Billy Napier be doing a national signing day presser this week? I know Florida's not expected to sign anybody, but do we know if that is going to happen?
Yes, we will speak to Billy on Wednesday at some point, but I don't think Florida's signing anybody. Plenty of coaching changes to speak on.
Yeah, De'Andre Robinson also is going to be in that recruiting class. Jameer Grimsley obviously transferred over. We'll probably talk about the both of them. Obviously, you make numerous changes at special teams, strength and conditioning, the defensive side of the ball. Still waiting to see if there's going to be any changes on the offensive side of the ball. So far, all of the coaches that had what we thought were expiring contracts as of January 31 are still out recruiting. So again, there still could be changes, new coaching staffs being put into place in the NFL. Coaches could potentially leave there. But right now it's not pronounced Houston County. Is it Houston County? I don't know. Just going off what it reads. So Houston Street, New York City, Houston in Texas. So correct me. Appreciate you, Jeremy, for letting me know. Always trying to get better on this pod. So anything else you guys want to talk about before we head out of here? Oh,
sure.
Marcus Castro Walker, no longer employed by the University of Florida. Nick, you want to shed some light into that?
Yeah. NCAA is investigating Florida for the Jaden Rashada thing. Marcus Castro Walker was heavily involved with Florida's name, image, and likeness program and was a member of the University Athletic Association. According to NCAA rules, you can't negotiate numbers. So it looks like NCAA is investigating and Florida is making proactive moves in that department.
Yep. I know there's a rumor going around that this happened back in the fall. It did not happen on the fall. I do know that he was on administrative leave as well during that time. So
he was he's been on administrative leave since August. Fired last week.
Yeah, he was very tied into a lot of happenings with NIL at the University of Florida. Was very tied into the collectives at the University of Florida as well. So Marcus Castro Walker, certainly wish him the best of luck in his career. He came over to Florida from Nebraska, I believe, previously at Texas or at Arizona State before that. Finally, SEC Big Ten announced an advisory group to look at the future of college football. You guys have any thoughts there? You guys think that we're starting to inch closer to a breakaway here by the two big power two conferences?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a big jumping off point. So like the, and I saw a lot of people being like, how is Tennessee doing this? They agreed to the rules and the NCAA is just enforcing the rules that the schools agreed to. Yeah. Well, the landscape has changed drastically in the last 3 years. And we really haven't put any new rules in. The NCAA has been running to Congress to be like, hey, don't let any of this stuff happen. And Congress said, let's look into how legal your entire operation is. And the NCAA said, don't do that. You guys have fun with NIL. Mm-hmm. Let's wash our hands of it and keep making money off of these kids. So their NCAA is just losing court case after court case. Congress is telling them absolutely not. I don't know what benefit the NCAA runs postseason tournaments. And then the Power Five said, we want to do our own thing with football. So the college football playoff is now separate to the NCAA running that tournament. Outside of running sports that don't make money, and really like Florida only has two sports that make money, that operate at a profit, football, basketball. Ooh. That's the case for most schools. Some schools will make money, their baseball program. I think LSU baseball operates in the black. But like two sports fund the other 19.
By far, yeah.
Outside of running the track and field championships or the water polo, the equestrian championships, like what does some of these schools, the schools in the Big Ten SC, what do they need the NCAA for? Other than being a punching bag when like things happen publicly, I don't know. And I think the schools that are in the Big Ten and the SEC don't need the NCAA as much as the NCAA needs them. And if you're going to get into a point where the NCAA is now looking at schools to punish them for the bare minimum of what you need to do in this NIL landscape to get kids to come to campus.
Yeah, you kind of glossed over it, but don't you think that that's kind of the biggest point of the NCAA? And I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this, Silk, too, right? Is like now you have an enforcement body that we can say, hey, this isn't our responsibility, our fault, right? That we're passing off our ability to tell on other schools to have some sort of enforcement. I think a lot of times the NCAA gets in trouble because they're doing the job that the schools want them to do. Right. I think you separate some of the NIL stuff and everything else, you know, from an enforcement and how do we accurately do that? But doesn't the NCAA exist as part of what these schools want from an enforcement body and an ability to deflect to an institution and rather than themselves?
Yeah, but I think we're moving towards the point of these guys being employees. I think that we're going to be in a few years, we're going to be collectively bargaining between the players and the schools. They're not amateurs in football.
They're still going to need a shield. They're still going to need, even when they start negotiating, collective bargaining, the players unionize, there still have to be a governing body to be the buffer between the players and the school. I don't think the NCAA goes anywhere. I think they're just running the rules. Like, when the schools get mad, the NCAA is like cute to me because it's like, bro, you guys pay them like to enforce the rules that you guys agree on. It's like a buffer between the schools. So NCAA, while they catch a lot of flack, they're just really just enforcing this the rules that all the schools have agreed upon.
I think that's the hardest part, right? With any, you know, even take this out of college football, right? Like with any unionizing of, you know, athletes, I mean, there's unions for motor workers. There's a lot of union jobs, plumbers, electricians, there's unions there. There's still governing bodies that oversee that. There's labor boards. There's all sorts of protections that are in place from a governing perspective even in the outside world. So that's where I'm curious to see, like, even if the SEC and the Big Ten break off and start their own organization, they're still going to be a punching bag organization from an enforcement perspective, because nobody likes the enforcement part of the NCAA, right? That they like that all of these tournaments happen. They like that all the events happen and everything else. They just don't like schools get mad when their school gets enforced on. But at some point, there's going to be another body that replaces it. So even if it's the SEC, Big Ten Advisory Commission, there's still a group that's going to oversee them. That's not a wild, wild west. And schools, as we've seen, can't self-report and self-govern themselves, or they're always going to be what rules you want to play in and how black and white and what gray area that you want to play in. And we've had Linda Teeler, we've had our athletic directors, you know, on this program, and they operate in a very black and white world. Obviously, you're seeing with Tennessee, they're operating in a very gray area, right? So every school is going to be different. So I'm curious to see, even if they break off, how different a governing body is going to be for that particular sector. And I do think that one day you are going to have split off divisions for football compared to the rest of the schools, because I don't think it's fair that Oregon has to play
Rutgers
in volleyball on a Wednesday night. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't think that that's fair.
That's crazy.
I don't think that the swimming team having a tournament against Florida State from Cal is like fair to those athletes. Right.
You know, it's not fair when you send those girls who are swimming, guys and girls who are swimming for USC, and they have to fly to New Jersey in December to go swim at Rutgers. It's like, excuse me, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So I don't know that. I mean, I think that that's part of the hardest thing right now is I'm curious to see what happens out of this advisory board or whatever it might be that they're creating, what the future of college football looks like. Cause I think if you look 10 years from now, college football, the way that we know about it and talk about it, obviously a lot's changed over the last few years, but the way that we talk about it is going to be drastically different. I think that you're going to start to get into revenue sharing and everything else, but it's curious. Obviously this is somewhat expected. And then certainly the FSU lawsuit against the ACC now has North Carolina tied in to some other potential legal action, or them wanting to get out of their grant of rights. I think Tennessee was brought in as a plaintiff against the NCAA with the state of Virginia as well. So a lot of happenings in the state of college football and state of college athletics right now. So we'll be interesting to see what does happen there.
Quick question, fellas.
Yeah.
Quick question. Do we get sanctioned at the end of our investigation? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Similar like FSU.
Yeah. I think you get a couple scholarships lost. You have the fall guy. You maybe have another fall person or two. Maybe you have to distance from certain booster or certain organization. Mm. Obviously, the Gator Collective is no longer an entity as a collective. So we will we'll see what happens. But I do think that Florida gets sanctioned. What do you think, Silk?
Yeah, I think we get our dome tapped a little bit.
For sure
with it. I think, you know, they're going to find something if Florida State got hit with the shenanigans they got hit with. I just don't like the vibes of people saying, or if the NCAA is moving with, we're going to make an example of somebody. I don't like that vibe, especially with how gray and, you know, no real direction from NCAA or anybody when NIL dropped. So to get super aggressive about making examples out of people, I think that's like nonsense with how all this was released. A lot of these programs, everybody's just been, it's been wild, wild west as of now. So to want to drop the hammer, I think is extra as hell.
But do you think that that will happen?
Not to us, but you know, they got those that vibe out there for Tennessee. Why?
Right.
Yeah. Tennessee, I just don't agree with the energy of all of that, bro. You let it be wild, wild west, and then want to say, yeah, we let it go crazy a little bit, but now we're going to make an example out of somebody. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I think Tennessee is firmly in the NCAA's radar right now, especially with the lawsuit that they filed, as well as the very bombastic commentary by the athletic director and president or chancellor of the university as well. Yeah,
talk about a glow up though. You got caught cheating a few years back. Caught cheating by stuffing money in McDonald's and Chick-fil-A bags.
Right.
Now we're cheating on private jets.
That's a level up, right, Tennessee. There. You know?
Big glow up for
that
you.
That jet stuff could get tricky, man.
Yeah.
It could get tricky.
It's not a bad life, though. You know what I mean?
Not a bad life. Yeah. Though,
getting flown around in the PJ, you know?
Yeah, man. PJ's
you got to get on the PJ DJ, you know?
Don't be dry snitching, man.
Oh, Dan.
Hey, like got a Dan over here.
That's what the allegations were. I don't know Nico personally. I don't hate it, though, you know? I've had the opportunity to be on a private jet twice now. And, I mean, if you can do it, do it. You know what I mean? So,
I got one more. I got one more before we get out of here.
Yeah.
So we was talking offensive coordinator. What do you guys feel about Rob Sale blocking half the fan base?
He's blocking people?
I mean, the line's not blocking anybody. So he's taking up the slack a little bit.
Hey, that's good coach. That's good coaching.
Bruh, I think you got to read the room a little bit there. Like, I think the blocking of people PR-wise, like, they have to get on the right page with that type of stuff. Like, you can't care that much to be searching your name and blocking people. I just think
full coaches deactivating their entire Twitter account.
Yeah, like, this staff's involvement in caring about social media, I think, is just over the top right there, man. You got to have a little bit more awareness, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I had some staffers unfollow me.
I did too.
These, man. Same. Yeah. I didn't want to throw me into it. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Nick.
Nick. I get sassy on Twitter though. And I don't need the staffers to follow me.
Man, I was called a sunshine pumper and these guys unfollow. I'm like, bro, I'm PG with it. Like,
yeah, I mean, we've been called. We've been told we carry water for the staff. That we're the microphone for the staff.
I'm dropping the water.
I've never said publicly anything negative about anybody on the staff, and I noticed a couple of unfollows over the last few months. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't want to follow you either.
Yeah.
Well, damn, we do keep the follow numbers down. So that did help me. It did help me. I think I stole that from you. I don't know how many I'm following right now. We're probably getting close.
I know for sure they're unfollowing. They're unfollowing former players. I know this. I'm not gonna say any names, but I know they're doing that. And like, just think about how fragile that is, bro. Like, if a said player was to say such and such coach unfollowed me, I'm a legend. Like, that's crazy to me. You know, like, I haven't said anything bad about you. I think that's terrible PR. You got to have more better awareness, man. So I just wanted to bring that up. I know we're looking for OC. And
these guys haven't been great on the PR train in a while.
No, it's been tough. Been tough in PR. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I also do agree. Don't harass coaches. Don't harass players. Don't harass coaches. You can speak critically without being harassment.
But you got to be aware enough to stay in good cahoots with your sunshine pumpers.
Yes. Like, you got to know who's carrying your water.
Yeah. Like, okay, he's lying for us a little bit and spinning for us. Like, let me stay in good cahoots with this type of guy. But
this kind of guy I need to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
He finds the brighter side of things a lot.
Yeah, we do. We do often find that sliver of light behind that.
North Korean news silk just pumping out highlights during a four-win season.
Yeah, why? Propaganda, man. I'm propaganda silk, bro. I got positive propaganda. Anywho.
Kim Jong Silk over there. All right. I'm glad we can
share this, man. This is good. This is good therapy. Yeah, good.
All right. So let's one final shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit them on Archer Road, right off of I-75 there, or visit them at alumnihall.com. Let them know Stadium and Gale sent you anything that you'd want. Accessories, apparel, tailgate supplies, anywhere from young to old, men to women, anything in between, Alumni Hall has got you taken care of. They're always up to date with the coaches' polos, all of the t-shirts and everything else that you might want from an SEC championship, a national championship, whatever it might be. Go check them out. Oh, also the probably one of the largest supplies of golf polos and golf accessories as well. So go check out our friends over at Alumni Hall. Let them know Stadium and Gale sent you, and we will see you guys next week. Is it Nick, your song of the week?
Nate went last week.
All right, so let's see. Why don't we do a fun bop? There's a new song by Jonas Blue and Sam Felt called Rest of My Life. So we will play that one as we head on out. Gentlemen, it was great seeing you. Same corner, same time next week. And I'll be reporting to you live from Canada next week. So we'll see you guys next week.
Found my ride or die up in the shadows. At first it made me cry, hit by an arrow. Yeah, it struck me so deep in the heart. Broke over, strung out in the dark. I found my